I was expecting only 15 to 20 minutes, but my brethren were very generous. I'm very thankful to them. Last year, I gave a report on work in India, but some of the brethren, brothers and sisters who are new here this year, they asked me to quickly go over what has been said last year. So I'll include that. And also my two recent trips between last year Dunedin conference and this year, I made two trips to India. So I'll give an update on that. Hope those who have heard the report last year wouldn't mind this. Please turn with me to Gospel according to Luke chapter 8. Gospel according to Luke chapter 8 and verse 39. Verse 39, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. The same gospel, chapter 22 and verse 32. Same gospel, chapter 22 and verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And the third portion is the last one, John's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 21. John 20 and 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now, I do agree with my brethren. Sometimes we use the word I and me, myself, because that is the format of the report naturally comes out. It doesn't mean we are magnifying ourselves or putting forward. It is the Lord's work. So we are just the vessels or the messengers. And also, I totally agree with my brethren. It's a collective work. Wife and husband together doing this work. Sometimes I joke with my wife and tell, when we go to heaven for the work, we get the reward, you get 60% and I get 40%. So I'm more than happy about that. Because without the behind the scenes people, it's impossible to do God's work. I'll quickly give a recap. I'll just go as far as 1996. Back in 1996, I was in the secular employment in the education department, work hard the whole day, and then come in the evening and take some of the young brothers in the local assembly, all the young brothers, also along other sisters and matured believers would come along with us. We would go to the slum areas, literal slum areas, very poor people, and our heart was for the very poor people, uneducated and illiterate people. We would go to the slum areas and do the gospel work. And we did that gospel meeting every day, not every week. It is every day for 3 years. As a result, nearly 30 souls were saved. Now, when these 30 souls were saved, the actual assembly we were attending was 2 hours by bus, public transportation. If you see a picture of Indian buses, you'll be stunned. You'll be literally hanging out of the door and windows. So that's the kind of travel. So 2 hours you have to go for every activity like Lord's Supper, Bible study, all those things. So we would go that far and come back. But these 30 newly saved believers who are poor, they won't have so much faith to attend that far. So there is a danger of getting scattered into other denominations. So we requested the assembly, please plant an assembly here because there are more than enough number of people to plant an assembly. So they were gracious to plant a new assembly, and hence a new assembly was planted there. And then I continued there and other brethren for some time. But we applied for immigration, immigration into Australia. And I forgot about that because we casually applied for this to work in Australia, and then forgot about that. 3 years passed by. We are very busy with the work of the Lord. These 30 believers became 50 believers, eventually became 100 believers. The number became very, very big. But 3 years later, suddenly we received a letter, you've been granted permanent residency in Australia. And then we are giving 9 months time for you to go. And then me and my wife forgot that and said to keep the letter aside and then continue to be busy in the work of the Lord. But we prayed about that. Suddenly one day, we woke up from our sleep and then checked the letter again. It was just 1 month left. So we had to prayerfully decide, ask God. We have so much work back at home. So many believers are looking up to us, newly saved believers. And this Australia came, is it your will that we should go? The Lord indicated through scriptures, go. So back in 2000, we came to Australia. Started working here for 8 years. During those 8 years, God has taught me some new things. Some of the areas which I never learned in India, either due to unsuitability of the natural habitat or environment existing there, or maybe those areas were poorly illuminated. I have no idea. After coming here, certain things God started teaching. One of the first things that taught me was the importance of the headship, the divine order in the house of God. And one of the things I quickly realized back home was that the sisters' meeting is not there according to the scriptures. There is no basis for sisters' meeting in the scriptures. Started investigating myself and verified with the various ministries. I got fully convinced it's not there. Someone introduced and it just continued like that. The second thing is the Lord's Supper. Yes, but we call the morning meeting sometimes worship meeting. There's nothing wrong. But the problem with that is there's some of the young people in India think that you worship only on Sunday, no other time, because it's called worship meeting. Only at the local assembly we come together, worship. Worship is a 24-hour occupation for a believer. So then I have to insist and say, call it worship meeting. I don't have any issue with that. But call it Lord's Supper and remembrance meeting and breaking of bread, because that's the proper words, the names given to the meeting, so that we can distinguish between worship. Yes, on the Lord's Day morning, that's the highest possible opportunity to collectively worship, but individually we can worship at any time. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is sanctification. I understood sanctification as the external cleansing of the wrongful actions we do against God and men. But later on I came to know there is an internal, intrinsic nature we existing within inside that needs to be morally cleansed. That needs to be cleansed so that the sinful desires commit to sin will come down. So I learned that. The fourth one is the Christ Center ministry. The center of this book, whether it's Old Testament or the New Testament or almost every chapter you search, Christ is the center. Well, whether you like it or not, I'm going to bring some science, because in science, God's the wisdom of Christ is displayed. To give them something extra. There are 92 naturally occurring elements in the periodic table. You take these 92 elements and study, the structure is same. The nucleus at the center, the electrons orbiting around the nucleus. The number of electrons will change, but the structure doesn't change. Always nucleus at the center. That will provide the energy and the force for the electrons to go wrong. Then, that's God's wisdom. Then I understood, you take any chapter, Christ is the nucleus of that chapter. You spin your story or your message, whatever it is, all around Christ like that. So different chapters, but still the nucleus same. So these things I learned. And then between 2000 and 2008, I would always pray to God every day. I am blessed because you brought me to a new place and taught me new things. So you expanded the knowledge of the base of my knowledge, my horizon. You expanded, let us put it in Jezebel's language. So what about my brothers and sisters back in India? Can you please send somebody to educate them spiritually, even in these areas? A little did I realize, I shouldn't have prayed that prayer. You know why? God said, I won't send anybody, I'll send you, Hugo. So I thought, next time I should be very careful. When you pray for something, should be ready, God might send you. Well, happy. So 2008, I spoke to my wife. The third Bible verse, God actually spoke. I was reading my daily portion and came to this verse, Luke 8:39. Return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And this man went and published the great things in 10 cities. Deca means 10. Polis means Greek, it is a city. He published the new glories of Christ, what all he learned at the feet of Christ in 10 different cities. So I decided, I spoke to my wife. She also said from John 20 and 21, God is also speaking to me parallelly, and I'm convinced that he's calling us for his work. So we told the local assembly, they said, we'll pray for you. So I resigned my job and we took whatever the little savings we had and went to India. For 4 years we were there. And then after 4 years, my daughter has to come back to write HSC. I couldn't leave her, so I had to bring her and again settle her here in the university. Again, we went back in 2013, we went back to a place called Mysore in Karnataka. It is not the state I come from. It is not the language I speak. Everything is new. If you go to India, if you change from one state to another state, the language totally changes. Maybe there might be a common denominator of 5%, 10%, not more than that. So we went to a place called Mysore and started teaching whatever the new things God taught us. When I'm reading my daily portion in Luke's Gospel, I ask God, are you calling me for evangelistic work, are you calling me for something else? I need to be clear about that. Then God spoke to me through the second thing, which is Luke 20-32, that says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. From this I understand God is calling me as a teacher. It doesn't mean I'm not happy to preach the gospel. I have preached the gospel far more than teaching. I did teaching back in here in Australia, even back in India. So anytime I'll preach the gospel, but I understand God wants me to focus on the teaching because he is calling me for the teaching. So what all these new things? Indian brethren, my brothers and sisters back in India, they know in many areas they are very matured. I commend them. I have learned a lot of things from the Indian preachers and teachers there, but in some areas, the light is poorly illuminated, and hence we wanted to go and teach them. So we went the initial trip, we went to Bangalore, Mysore, and Visakhapatnam. That was for 4 years. In the second trip for 2 years, nearly 2 years, we went to a place called Mysore and started teaching these things at the local assembly. I also visited the neighboring state called Andhra Pradesh. So my ministry was confined to these two states. But during our third trip, which is an extended trip of 2 years, we wanted to introduce these corrections into the local assembly, what all I mentioned. But Corona came. When Corona came, our two-year stay became 4 years. we wanted to correct certain things, but we thought if that correction fails, the door of opportunity is permanently closed. When British ruled India, sometimes some of the tigers would come into the villages and eat some people and would go away. They are called man-eaters. So the British wanted to kill these tigers, the man-eaters. So they searched for an expert shooter, and his name is called Jim Corbett. So they called Jim Corbett and said, you have to kill these because they are just killing people. It's not a good thing. So he killed a lot of man-eater tigers. You know what he said, one of the statements? If you want to kill a man-eater tiger, make sure you hit in the first shot. Otherwise, you will become its lunch. So sometimes among the assemblies, when there is a door for correction, it will be only one opportunity. If it backfires, it goes. So me and my wife decided to pray for this, to introduce these corrections. We prayed for 3.5 years. Because we want to make sure definitely what we say, the brethren will graciously accept. This is in Mysore in Karnataka. So after 3.5 years, they asked me to take a series of Bible classes every Wednesday. So I started taking from 1 Corinthians, and these introduced these corrections, and the brethren were very, very gracious to accept all these corrections. One of the corrections is, in the intercessory prayer, they would break up into small groups. They would break up into small groups and pray into 6 groups. And they would say, since we are breaking up into small groups, now sisters can become a small group, or they can also become 2-3 groups. Since there are no brethren in that small groups, they too can pray. Instead of one prayer and all are listening, many prayers can ascend up to heaven and God will be well pleased. Logically, it sounds correct, but not scripturally. When a brother stands up and prays, first of all, he is leading the assembly. He is the representative of Christ, because the head of every man is Christ. So he is standing as a representative of Christ and leading the assembly. When everyone says amen, they have already prayed along with him. It is not that one man prayed, the whole assembly prayed. By dividing into groups, the logical reasoning might work in the computation world very well. It doesn't work because you are breaking the local assembly, which is supposed to be one entity. Not only that, there is no room for reasoning in the local assembly, because if we study the epistle to Colossians, reasoning and revelation, they are mutually exclusive to each other. God said, I'm revealing everything in the book. Don't bring common sense and logic. That's how these Gnostics introduced many things, and the Colossian believers in danger of going towards the reasoning. There is no room for reasoning in the local assembly. There is no room for ritualism in the local assembly. Reasoning is Gnostic problem, and ritualism is a Judaistic problem. Both are the enemies of the local assembly, and only the local assembly runs on the revealed word of God. So we have to correct that. And also another one was, there was a sick brother who is very old, and every Lord's Day morning, after the breaking of bread is over, after the meeting is over, since that brother could not come to the local meeting, they would take the bread and wine to his house and administer it there. It was sad. So we had to correct many other things, sisters' meeting, but thankfully, they all graciously accepted. It was a very surprising thing that the younger brethren, young believers, some of them caught hold of this Christ-centered ministry. Today, what we did nearly more than 15 years ago, 2008 I'm talking about, some of those young brethren became elders in some assemblies. By virtue of their employment, they were scattered into different parts of Karnataka, and some of them are coming up as fine Bible teachers. I need not go to some places anymore because they are already there. I'm very, very thankful to God. Sometimes, my brethren will agree, sometimes the seeds we sow, we get disappointed where they are going. Where is the result? Where is the tangible result? But you give some time and go back, and after some time, you might forget the whole thing and see. Then you will see the fruit and the of those seeds. It's a very, very encouraging. So this was about our three trips to India. Then we had to come back recently, 2 years ago, because my two younger children, the universities asked them to return back to Australia, because my second daughter is studying second year Bachelor of Science. She used to continue. She studied for 5 years online during COVID and other times, but the university said you had to come for practical work. You know, more online doesn't work. So she had to return. My son had to return for HSC. My daughter wrote HSC during COVID time in India because they allowed her not to move from country to country during COVID time. It was not permitted. But now my son had to come. They came. We are here to settle them so that after that, we are literally free. Wherever God wants us to go, we have to go. We will go very gladly. So we can't guarantee that we'll be here in Australia for a while. We might stay in Australia and ask God. God might tell us, go to Australia and New Zealand and strengthen the brethren. We are happy to do that. It takes us back to India. More than happy to do that. Now, I just want to quickly explain to you about the last two trips to India. During my last trip to India, I've been to North India intentionally. Now, India is a little bit elongated, vertically elongated, just like New Zealand. You have, it is longitudinal or elongated shape of the continent, a country. India is also like that. So India can be divided as two parts. In the middle, you can call North India and South India. South India is spiritually very fertile land. In other words, there are plenty of assemblies in the state of Kerala, the state of Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, and Andhra Pradesh. There are more than 1,000 assemblies. But when you go to the North India, they are very scantily, sparingly spread across the entire North India. So one of my burdens, that burden laid down upon my heart, is how can we take the truth to the North India? When it comes to evangelism, we don't lack evangelists in India. There are plenty of evangelists in India. They will take the gospel to every corner. But when it comes to the higher structure, when it comes to the edifice of the local assembly, there are very few Bible teachers there. So one of my burdens is how we can take this truth into the North India. To conquer any people in the world, first thing I learned is to learn their language. During Corona time, I was stuck at home for 2 years. Every evening, I would take two Zoom meetings across Karnataka and Andhra Pradesh. Evening 6 o'clock or 6:30 to 7:30, one meeting. And again, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, another Zoom meeting I would take. But during the day, I thought I would learn a new language. So for 2 years, I learned a new language called Kannada. Now, if I go to India, I can speak in Telugu, in their own mother tongue, and Kannada. And my Hindi is 50% okay. I'm still learning. I need to master it. Otherwise, I'll speak in English. They will translate into other languages. So that the one of the ways is to get the books written, the truth in their own language. In the northern part of India, the cities are okay because most of the brethren in the cities, they know English, they have access to English resources. But my heart is for those who are in the rural side or the village side. Most of them are illiterate people. They cannot understand English. They don't even preferably listen to a translation from English because it will be by the when an English person comes and they translate into the local language, they still feel that distance. This message is not for us. This message is for the English-speaking people. So we want to overcome that by promoting the truth in the local language. I'm working on that. I may not be able to speak the local language. At least I can lay hold of the right people and translate the right literature into the local language, especially the areas where the light is poorly illuminated, because the devil takes advantage of those areas. Yes, Jerusalem has many gates. All the gates have to be firmly secured. If one of the gates is not, actually one of the gates was not well secured, that made them to do the business on the Sabbath day. It's mentioned in the book of Nehemiah. So that's the reason why I went into the North India to just to have some sort of survey like thing. Last time I went to Delhi and then to a place called Lucknow and then to Bombay and then came down to Bangalore and Mysore and Hyderabad, and also two villages I visited called Bhadravati and Pavagada. Especially in the North India, there is no religious freedom. There is a state called Uttar Pradesh where you cannot preach the gospel openly. Even sadly, our assemblies also cannot gather openly. Many places, they don't give for rent. When you tell them, we're going to gather as a local assembly here, some few believers gather on the Lord's Day morning, they will say, we won't give our houses for rent because it is a security threat. So please pray for these believers. The objective is to promote the assembly truth in the local language so that the truth will spread to every corner of the land so that they can easily access. Another way is through YouTube. One of the good things that happened, I shouldn't say good thing, Corona does a lot of damage to the, what you call, life. But one of the things that Corona taught was how to use the technology like the Zoom meetings and how to access the messages over the YouTube. Even the illiterate people learned that technology around that time. So, want to promote some messages. Can be 5 minutes message or 10 minutes message on the assembly truth. If we can promote that into their own language, they can easily access. Now, during my second trip, very recently, just 20 days ago, I was in India. I just returned from India and took my wife and came down to New Zealand for this ministry. This time, I wanted to visit Singapore and Malaysia also. I traveled through Singapore, transited through Singapore number of times, more than 20, 25 times. But never it crossed my mind, is there an assembly in Singapore here? Or is there an assembly in Kuala Lumpur here? Can I go and visit them? That thought never crossed my mind. But this time, I wanted to do that. So from Brisbane, went down to Perth and gave them some ministry. From there, I went to Singapore and gave Joo Chiat Gospel Hall. I went there. And they warmly welcomed, and the whole day was very useful. I gave them good teaching and also preached the gospel that afternoon. And then went to North India, to the Northeast, to make a survey as led by the Lord. about a new language, how to learn and what are the easy way to learn the language. And then I came down to two important cities in the South India for two reasons. Number one, there were a group of people, young people, waiting with a lot of questions. They were confused between what the scripture says and what the local assembly is actually practicing. So they asked me, requested me and said, can you come and spend with us 2 hours? We have a lot of question and answer session. I said, okay, evening 6 o'clock, we're going to sit down. It went on for 4 hours. They asked me so many questions. At 10 o'clock, they wanted to go, but I was still happy to sit down 2 more hours. The reason is, when we clear the doubts in the minds of our young people from the scriptures, they will advance, move forward in life. Otherwise, they're stuck, they're confused. And then I went down to another city, and then another city, and there also the young people, we sat down in the evening, it went on till morning 1:30. They started asking a lot of questions. Why the Bible, this Bible says like this, why they're practicing this way? What do we do? What does the Bible say in the local assembly when you see something unscriptural? How do you handle? So all these things we sat down and discussed. And then I gave a couple of ministry meetings to the local assembly in that city, because all the corrections we made by the help of God and all the truth we taught them during our last few visits, they're still holding on, but they are coming under tremendous pressure. The other assemblies are saying, we are going to boycott you or excommunicate you. You need to reintroduce these things. So they are holding on to the truth. So the Lord enabled us to go and give them some ministry to strengthen them and to comfort them and to encourage them and say, hold on, because God will help you if you stand for the truth. You might be lonely. Joseph was all alone in Egypt. All the brethren have forsaken him. But it is written in the Bible repeatedly, and the Lord was with him. So we encouraged them, and that was one of the objectives of this. While coming back, on the way back home, again came to Malaysia. Malaysia, I've been to Kota Communing Gospel Hall. Their day was very, very busy day. I'll simply explain how it goes. Morning meeting starts around 9 o'clock. And then morning after the morning meeting, they will have a Sunday school. Nearly 80 children attended the Sunday school. And then after that, the brethren have taken me to 30 kilometers to a different place where they hired a place and called all the people there. And then there was a Sunday school there. And after the Sunday school is over, there was a gospel meeting there. And after the gospel meeting was over for the believers, there was a Bible class there. And then we all came back to the hall in the evening, 6 o'clock. Again at the hall, there was a gospel meeting. One of the young brother took the first few minutes, followed by they asked me to take the second meeting. And then it was very profitable. Then I thought, instead of coming straight to Brisbane, it's better to go back to Perth again and give another ministry night to the brethren there, and gave and came back. Now, what is the likely future exercise? Of course, the God can overrule and take me in different direction. My future exercise is that the truth must go to the places which it has never gone before, especially in the North India. Personally, I always like the poor people. If God gives me freedom, I will always go to the slum areas and pick up the most uneducated people and teach them the profound truths in the Bible. My ambition is or my principle is, I want to see the grace of God to shine brightest. So I will choose a place, I will choose a dark place where the light can shine to the brightest than another place where there are too many lights, city lights are there, and this light may not shine in the midst of light. So I look for the places where the wonderful grace of God can shine to the brightest, and there I want the truth to be spread. That's my ambition, but still, everything at the end of it, God decides where we should be and what we should be doing. Pray for the ministry. At the same time, I am not averse to, if God tells me stay in Australia and help the believers in Australia for a while, even in New Zealand, I'm happy to do. Many times people ask me, are you happy in India? Are you unhappy in Australia? I tell them, wherever the presence of God is, wherever He guarantees me, I'll be happy. Even if He takes me to a different country, maybe a Mongolia or some other unknown country, I will be still happy, but I'll only set one condition with God. If Your presence doesn't come with me, don't send me there. May the Lord help to appreciate these things.